introduce himself. There's a couple of faces here.
I'll start. My name's Eric Adams, I'm the new planning and development manager for Lime Lane Park and Recreation District.
Okay.
I'll be taking Vincent's place.
All right, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, Eric, glad to have you.
Are you being permanent or are you temporary?
Permanent, as far as I'm aware.
Good. You're on, yeah.
All right.
I talked to Vincent the other day, he talked about you.
Great. I was supposed to be in that discussion with you guys, but I think something happened.
And are you new with the Lime Lane, or have you been there for a while? I can't remember.
Relatively new, yeah, I think this is my third week.
Okay, very new. Well, I knew there was a new position, I knew you were recruiting for the position, but I didn't know if you'd been with the organization, so.
No, yeah.
Where'd you come before?
We're in the process of relocating from Portland.
Okay, great.
Is that good or bad?
It's good, yeah, we're excited.
Just checking.
Yeah, it's really good.
Pretty, half the population of Oregon's there. Our guest is?
I'm Adam, I'm interning with Sandy Belson in Development and Public Works, so just kind of here to observe and see how this goes, yeah.
And you are a student at?
Oh, I'm a student at the University of Oregon in Planning, Public Policy and Management.
All right. Kip Haymond, designer. I'm a designer, but I'm also an architect. And in a small local firm, in my waning years of practice, actually, but always have time to come here and help out. Well, at least put in my 2 cents.
And also serves on the Arts Commission, right? Or the Lane Arts? Aren't you still involved with the Lane
Arts Council?
Council?
Oh, I retired out on that, and
okay.
I retired out on that. I was on the Historic Commission in Springfield also, at the same time.
Mr. Tuttle.
Excellent. John Tuttle, here from the Washburn District. Guess I could wear different hats. Live here in the neighborhood. I'm a designer, but not an architect. Was on the Historic Commission a long time ago, for a long time.
Does beautiful drawings of architecture, homes, historic homes that are in some of our documents, historic guidelines and whatnot.
Yeah, can still draw.
Yeah.
Don't always sit down to the computer.
Karen.
Mm-hmm. I'm Karen Hagman. General public now, former two-time business owner in downtown Springfield, and been on this committee since its inception. I think we're in our ninth year. I think it was it 2008 or 2009?
Well, urban renewal was 2007, and I think you guys were originally appointed right around that time.
Yeah, when it was called DURAC.
The DURAC. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, yeah, see a lot of people on the committee, and you've been on the committee since day one.
Yeah, well, full supporter of downtown Springfield. So
yeah.
Involved as much as I can.
Was.
Yeah, me too. And I'm also a board member of the Springfield Renaissance Development Corporation, which is the private nonprofit. And we're working on a project right now. And we did the three buildings in the third block of Main Street across the street from those buildings.
Mm-hmm.
That was our last project. And also SRDC was brought the Wildish Theater into being, so before I came on that work. So I've been involved in downtown for a long time.
Yes, she has. She always is here. Very, very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. And very important case.
You're next.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm me.
Yeah, you talk about supportive and involved.
Yeah, well, this is general public now. Is this new one?
I think you're now general public.
Okay. I was a planning commission appointee.
Oh.
And my planning commission terms maxed out. They would not let me be on there. So I retired last May, almost a year now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on the planning commission for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I lived in Glenwood, I wasn't. That's as high as I can go in the city and be involved. And to be
For now.
To make an announcement, I will be running for city council next spring.
Oh, yeah.
City council.
Pardon?
So does that mean that you have to move, or
no,
is that
no,
part
I
of
actually,
it?
No, I actually moved into the city.
You did?
Oh,
okay.
That's right. You, yeah, you
yep.
bought your
yep.
house.
All right.
So,
how does Glenwood, is it its own, it really is its own place? It has, like, Eugene addresses, but it's governed by
it's
the city of Springfield,
our
but it's in your
dream. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Glenwood's in Springfield Urban Growth Boundary,
yeah.
And Springfield is annexed Springfield into it. And part of it's in, part of it's out. And eventually, because it's an urban growth boundary,
And I'm Linda Pauly, the staff person assigned. I've been working on this a long time too. And Jo Lynn Barker is doing our minutes tonight. Thank you, Jo Lynn. Appreciate it. And Shannon, another one.
All right. Shannon, you should have gotten here earlier. Your chair now.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for that.
Introduce yourself.
Yeah, introduce yourself and then choose some macaroons and strawberries.
Hi, I'm Shannon Mudge, general public. I've done this since we first started out.
And our guest is?
Troy Sloniker, and I'm just sitting in to see what's going on down here.
And your address is downtown.
Yeah, I bought the building at, just down the street at 555 Main Street, so that's I'm working out of there kind of part-time right now.
555 Main Street.
Yeah.
Well, that's the old Sweeties, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we've all been curious about what's going on in there and what's going to happen.
I'm a lawyer, but I keep my law practices over in Eugene. I'm also a real estate agent, and that'll probably operate out of that location.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a large office in the rear of the building, and my girlfriend is a counselor. Well, she's almost done with her master's in counseling and life coaching, and she'll operate out of the large office in the back of the space. So that's kind of what we're doing with it, yeah.
Great.
I love that you took all that, the stucco off and exposed the brick, or did whatever, and then exposed the old part of the sign.
Well, we're eventually going to probably paint the east-facing wall, but we couldn't really do anything to that wall until it starts drying up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna finish the building. It's just weather permitting.
But didn't the old sign get exposed?
Oh yeah, there's old.
The old jewelry sign.
Yeah,
kind of
yeah.
Cool.
That's really cool.
See, we like stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Are you gonna leave that or?
Well, I don't know because a lot of the stucco was damaged, and then we had to patch it.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that old. Painted sign on there, but I don't think we're going to leave it.
Just take a picture of it so they use it for the museum.
So
oh,
cool.
They actually, before we put the windows in, they came and they took, mm-hmm. they documented everything. So, yeah, it's already been documented.
Nice. Okay, moving on. Agenda review. Anybody?
We needed to add another item since I sent this out, and that's approval of the minutes. So I added that to the agenda.
Okay.
Did you guys have any more public comment you'd like to offer? We always at the beginning of the meeting, if you have any thoughts about what you're hearing or what you will hear.
If you do want to hear.
Yeah.
The approval of the minutes of our meeting of a year ago.
I did send them out right after the last meeting, which was almost a year ago, and I never heard anything back, but... you always need to formally approve them or not approve them or revise them. Or
motion?
Make a motion to approve the minutes as written unless there are any comments.
Favor?
Aye.
Second?
committee membership update.
So, thanks to all the long-serving committee members for sticking with us for all this time and providing this continuity with this group. I know it's been challenging, and I don't want to spend any time talking about why it's taken so long in this last year, because I want us to just work tonight, but there are major reasons why we didn't. But since there was such a gap, we did lose some people off the committee. In fact, we lost two very recently. And the people that we've lost, you can probably tell the ones that aren't here, Angela and Pierce. We had our Julie Romig had already gone because she moved away. And who else? Help me out here. Who else is missing?
Well, Bob Kiefer retired.
Bob Kiefer retired, so his position needed to be filled. And then Vincent used to be serving as the Historic Commission rep, so we had to do some shuffling with him also.
So is Eric taking Vincent's place then?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if Vincent was going to be an addition to me.
No, I mean, he's always welcome to come. So the Committee for Citizen Involvement is the body at Springfield that approves the citizen involvement plans for project and also the people that serve on planning citizen advisory committee. So I went to them on April 18th and I recommended some changes to shuffle some of the positions around. The CCI agreed with staff that we really want to retain the members that have been on the committee for as long as possible. They understand that, you know, there's always turnover. And some committees, we intentionally only have a term of service. But in this case, they really supported encouraging you folks to stay on. And we're almost finished, so we only have about four more meetings, I think. And then we'll see if this committee will continue after that. I'm not sure at this point. So they made, I think, seven motions that night. So what they did is we approved a new membership category on this committee, and it's Springfield Renaissance Development Corporation. And
okay,
then
so that'll be me.
SRDC, okay. Right, because of their involvement in the downtown. We deleted two membership categories. One was the CDAC, which was the Community Development Advisory Committee that's associated with the Community Development Block Grant and the home. We used to have them involved in this committee because there used to be a downtown set-aside, and nobody had been serving in that position for a while, so we decided to delete that category. And then we also deleted the NEDCO Downtown Program rep because the Main Street programs no longer exist. And so Karen was reassigned to serve as the SRDC representative. Steve Moe was reassigned to serve as general public representative. Vincent Martorello, or Willamette Lane designee, Erica Adam, was reassigned to serve as the Willamette Lane representative on the committee. And then the CCI directed me to conduct focused outreach to members of the Historic Commission, Chamber of Commerce, NEDCO, Springfield Downtown School representative, and more representatives of the design and development community. And the development community piece, that was something, we did three work sessions with City Council in May, June, and July of last year. That's one of the reasons we haven't met for a while, because they needed a lot of time to go over the last draft of the design standards that you all saw in April. And at that time, they felt that they wanted more development people looking at this thing. So we'll be doing that. And then they also directed me to recruit for two general public positions and one downtown business owner position. So we're actively recruiting right now. The press release already went out. We were trying to get somebody on right away because we'd like to have them involved in the very next meeting in May. So if you know anyone, and Troy, if you're interested, I have application forms with me tonight.
I'll look at it.
Okay. Or if you know anyone else that would like to do it. I mean, it is a commitment, but it's only four meetings, so.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Time's running out.
Okay, so that's the update. Any questions about that? And I did put in your packet tonight, there's a list of all the people and the new positions. And there's also a calendar of your upcoming meetings. They have all been scheduled out, so you should get them on your calendars. And then the recruitment looks like this. I have a copy of it if anybody wants, and I also have the application packets.
Do you have any of mine? Necco?
No.
I should talk to
yeah,
Lisa Hartwig. She's mm-hmm. Rose Sprout.
Okay.
There's a hatch. I don't know if it would be her or if it would be
mm-hmm.
somebody in the real estate
community.
Okay. We're going to go fast. Pretty
oh, that's just the right one.
Oh, right here?
Yeah.
Here are the application forms.
Yeah, there's an application form. It's about
and they're online, so you can just fill it out on a fillable form.
We want you to
online, too.
All of that.
We'll talk to you soon.
So any questions about that, reassignments? Other than that, we're just going to get right into the meat of tonight's discussion, which I hope will be pretty interesting. So I have a whole lot of slides here, more than I normally would have in a PowerPoint presentation. But on April 10th, I showed these same pictures to the City Council. They did a work session. So since we last met, remember we had draft two, we had Marcy, the consultant from HerbsWorks. She's still working for us. She's working on draft three. It's actually due tomorrow to the city. So you'll be seeing that not in the next meeting, but probably the one after it. But the response that we got from the council was they liked a lot of the ideas that were presented in draft two, but they thought it was way too complex and that they wanted to see much more simplified formatting, which is consistent with what we all thought. And then they also, you know, expressed some concerns about the scale, type, height of buildings, and, you know, asked the question, how can the new design standards ensure that things are really going to fit in with what we have downtown? So in response to that, I put together the slides and presentation to help identify what are the characteristics of downtown that are really important that people really love and that we want to retain and preserve and build from. So that's what this is all about. So I have tonight, I'm just going to have open for discussion, and I'm just hoping to get your input, and I'm hoping that you can help identify other things that I don't have on these lists or that you don't see in the pictures that might be very important. I also have these blue sheets that I'm hoping as we kind of go through it that you can mark as we go, like just with a check mark or write your own notes on it, whatever you like, of things that you think are important or less important as we go. And I'm not going to do a whole lot of talking, it's just a lot of looking at pictures. So please have some strawberries and cookies and we'll go from there. And hopefully this will work. So we had our historic
last picture for a minute. I want to comment on it.
Sure.
I just spent a month in Australia earlier this year, and Frio, they call it, over there. And a lot of the downtown is just like this, and it really brought it up to date. And so I got some pictures of it, and it just made me think of Springfield.
What area, Melbourne?
Huh?
What area, Melbourne? Because that's kind of the...
No, it's Perth.
Perth
on the west coast, yeah. Indian Ocean. Fremantle.
Yeah, so back when the council was looking at the draft standards back in last spring and summer, you know, they kept saying, well, one of the blocks we really like is this block. And the reason they like it, I think, is pretty obvious. Those are old buildings that have a lot of historic character. And so I'm trying to get at what is it about these buildings? What is it about this particular block and other blocks in Springfield? What are the physical characteristics that can be measured and that can could possibly be replicated? And the idea isn't to copy an old building and try to make another one that looks like an old building. It's to think about what are the features on those buildings that makes them significant and why people like them. And so I was going to say that I think we had one of our historic commission members that was on this committee brought to me a document called Compatible Infill Standards for Historic Districts. And so some of this material I gleaned from that document that she provided. So what I tried to do, I walked around downtown again, I took a lot of photographs, and I'm just looking at what are the physical features of these buildings and blocks and other buildings in the downtown that have features that at least can be identified as potentially important. And so the first one, it really is about the relationship of the buildings to the street, right? And then, you know, I did some actual measurements of our blocks. Goes back to our early plat of the downtown. We have relatively small blocks in Springfield, like compared to Eugene. So that makes a big difference when you've got, you know, our blocks along Main Street are 264 feet, and that's based on that original plat dimension. And so you have all these small lots on Main Street that provide all this variation in storefronts compared to a big building on a big block, right? Mm-hmm. And I know it seems obvious to us, but when you point that out to the council and to the community, then you start to have some parameters to talk about what frontage might be in the future of buildings. So here's Eugene, 334 feet long, and they have a lot of places where they vacated alleys, and so they end up with more like super, what we call super blocks, like where the Capstone development went in. And so the scale is a little bit bigger over there. And small blocks are considered the most walkable thing, like that you want for a community. So we already have that going for us. It's like, mm-hmm. that is such a rare thing to have, and so.
That's interesting, because I never, as much as I've walked downtown, mm-hmm. and, I've never realized that each block was equal, that yeah. 264, because mm-hmm. the way the buildings are, because you take, you know, the U.S. Bank building, they got the whole block, you know, mm-hmm. and so that's 264 feet is what you're saying, right? Mm-hmm. And then you go across the street from that, and you have, you know, several different buildings and storefronts.
Right.
That's interesting.
And one of the things we looked at in the design standards was looking at lot size minimums for development. And one of the things we talked about was allowing small lots to develop, not forcing them to consolidate. And so that would go along with this idea. So the other thing you start to look at is, you know, those people really knew what they were doing back in the 1850s, because the street width is 66 feet. This particular block, this particular building, the Plankstown, the IUF building, is 61 feet. So it has this great proportion of the building width to the width of the street, which you don't really, I mean, you feel it, I think, but when you measure stuff, then it's like, oh, that's interesting. And it's funny because this building, I looked at some of the historic records of it, and it was the largest building at the time it was built, and the most modern. That's how
wow.
it was described.
Really well built.
Yeah, I've seen the foundations and the pictures of the building.
Yeah.
So it's amazing that these are the kind of buildings that stand the test of time and now are being re-inhabited. Pretty cool. So then here's the Royal Building, which is our tallest building in our downtown, and the width of it is 80 feet wide along Main Street, compared to 61 for the Planktown building. And again, here's just some photos of our older historic type buildings in our downtown and the scale that they have. Mostly two-story. And then as we think about, you know, what new buildings would we get and what would they look like? How would they fit in? So what I did is I just downloaded a whole bunch of pictures to kind of just click through, compare, think about some of the different features that they have. Remember, one of the things we talked about was step backs mm-hmm. from the buildings. So I have a lot of photos in there of what that might do or not do.
I think that makes such a difference with having the recessed storefront, recessed doors. And mm-hmm. And what was interesting is what the building next to the A3 Annex Bill Ruff's building,
mm-hmm.
recessed.
Yeah.
Back, which I think made it, it's still not the prettiest building, but it made a difference recessing
mm-hmm.
the doors and the windows.
Can can't wait till we get out of the warehouse stage. It's all been influenced by warehouses in Massachusetts from the 1950s.
This type of style?
It's just warehouses.
Yeah, when I just Googled mixed-use buildings, it's like they all look alike.
The mm-hmm.
They all have proportions of the openings that are like a garage door size opening.
Well, I believe in the 40% least minimum of having windows mm-hmm. on the bottom floor, because otherwise you have a giant wall and that makes it insecure for everyone.
Right. So here's some recent buildings in Eugene and Springfield, mostly Eugene. I go by this one every night when I go home. This is the Hilton building on mm-hmm. across from the Kiva.
It looks top heavy.
It's got some weird green stuff on it. What is that green stuff?
Building looks so better than that picture, though.
You think so?
Yeah,
okay.
It just looks
really imposing and top-heavy to me.
And it has this stone stuff on the bottom that doesn't show up very well. It's like this black stone veneer stuff. I'm not passing judgment on any of this stuff. I'm just looking at it to see what are the characteristics of it. And here's what buildings look like that are four-story with no step back. Mm-hmm. This was the hub. This is the tallest building that's gone in for a while over in Eugene on Broadway, the student housing project.
That's the finished look?
That's finished.
Oh, my gosh. It's horrible.
And if you look at especially if you look at the relationship of the building to the street, there's not enough width there for a building of that height in my eye. But that's just my personal.
It does feel like you're about to jump into the street.
You're trying to get as many apartments as out of as they could.
Right.
For respect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you house a lot of people.
It's supposed to be inspirational, though.
Wow. It looks like a giant
Lego. Yeah.
Doesn't it?
I don't know if we would get anything like this in Springfield, but
no,
you never know.
I hope not.
Here's some other ones. These are more student housing projects, six stories. So all these would fit with, well, not the first one. The rest of these would fit within our existing code for height, because we allow a 90-foot high.
That's a nice clean look.
With retail on the bottom. But you'll start mm-hmm. to see these patterns. So here's some more. The Andy. They all have names like names, like Andy, Steve.
What's the one on the left with all those S's?
I don't know, but these are actual buildings that one firm, a local firm. Do you know these guys? Two Form?
Mm-hmm. So, when you go to Uvo, we make fun of the art history building because it has that look. Mm-hmm. And they all want to get rid of it, and now we're bringing it back.
Yeah. Well, the reason I put all these up there is because this is what the market's building now
mm-hmm.
In our area.
Right.
So
yeah,
they must be feasible. I mean, they get, I think some of these got the MUPTE tax credit. Our council is considering a MUPTE tax credit. Crescent Village is another relatively recent. I don't know what this material is that they used, but it definitely has a look to it.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of going towards Romanesque style.
And I don't, do architects know what that, it's some kind of a wood product, isn't it? The yellow finish?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah. But again, these are, you know, four or five story buildings, so mm-hmm. these wood.
It's not the Inkwell building.
It's
right
the
there.
It's called the
Inkwell
office.
Yeah,
it's
kind of empty.
Yeah, the ground floor is empty. It's it hasn't gotten any new tenants.
Here's some other ones. It's like, you know, they're almost identical. They just have more windows on the one on the right, or different type of windows. But yeah, the more you look at these, the more they start to look the same for me. But that's just my. Nine stories. So our existing code allows a 90-foot building. We're considering converting feet to stories in our new code. So here's what a 9-story would look like. And some of our economic development people are telling us you got to have about 8 stories if you really want to pencil out. So we're talking tall things here. So let's look at what some of those would look like.
90 feet is 5 stories?
I think it's about 7. Depends on how high the ground floor is.
The ground floor,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Okay, so it's like 12 feet.
So this would be a little taller than what we allow right now.
A big difference is the amount of spaces you'd have to take in downtown Springfield
Because I don't think the Royal Building is imposing. I mean, it's you know, even though it's five stories, it doesn't feel totally out of place.
Mm-hmm. And then here's some that are bigger that are starting to occupy, you know, full block, or what we would think of as a full block.
It's a little hard to imagine in downtown Springfield.
Yeah. It is, isn't it? But it could happen.
I guess on the
somebody could do a full block.
On the west end of the district around Mill or maybe in that area.
Yeah, yeah.
You could have a could happen.
Or maybe other vacant downtown core building is the one right across the street from here. Mm-hmm. That chamber's on.
I was just trying to do the even, you know, ancient Egyptian corners.
Yeah.
It was popular in the 1890s. But I mean, I like it. Mm-hmm. Same idea.
And again, I'm not, you know, I picked these pictures just to try to show
it's
the point.
No, it's neat to see them.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that?
That's a Trader Joe's.
Mm-hmm.
But again, these mixed-use buildings, they tend to look similar to one another.
Mm-hmm.
This is just one of those blocks in Eugene where they took out an alley to allow a bigger mess thing. And then, you know, it'd be real easy to say, well, we don't want to allow that, but, you know, there might be some opportunity that things that we would think were great that would be more than a block. I don't know. Here's this Portland Goat Blocks development. I'm not real clear about it. I don't know if it's already built or if it's still in the design phase, but it's got a market of choice, a hardware store.
Yeah, it's still in design.
Is it still in design? 347 apartments.
I like it has different personalities.
But it's a super block, but it is broken up into different
mm-hmm.
buildings,
mm-hmm.
so it doesn't read as this one big
space. It has a courtyard, a interior space.
Oh, it's kind of cool for
mm-hmm. penitentiary. Looks good.
You know this site, Eric? Where they're doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Is it northeast?
No, it's it's actually a little bit further east of Central East Side. The cross streets, it's like, you know, the 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And Ankeny?
There's an old
high school on the adjacent block, and they call it the Goat Blocks Development because there was a group of the goat herd that
mm-hmm.
actually was an Ankeny property for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a herd of goats that hung out there for a while, and they got relocated when this got purchased for redevelopment.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you're seeing a lot of not just infill but redevelopment
mm-hmm.
within that portion of Portland.
Yeah.
And you know, I think in terms of context and comparison, being completely new to the group in the city,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, you have your overall, you know, critical mass of buildings in the downtown has much greater heterogeneity,
mm-hmm.
less verticality. In Portland, they're trying to replicate a lot of that, but it's still going more vertical, and actually they just had some major updates to their comprehensive
mm-hmm.
plan design standards to allow for height bonuses,
mm-hmm.
depending on what type of FAR they can accomplish for residential units. And so that's, you know, in terms of activating a downtown, you want to have that opportunity for more residents to draw in more businesses. So there's a dynamic there
mm-hmm.
that you have to be conscious of too.
These are some pictures from that development plan, just showing the, you know, the parking underneath and the, all the stacks. This picture I actually really like. And I sent this to somebody that works for the Silva Group,
mm-hmm.
Alan Evans. He loves it too. So he's going to try to help me get something
yeah.
going. That's the Island Park site where the dental, you know, all those buildings that are kind of tucked back behind along Mill Street in Island Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but where is...
Oh, I don't know where this is.
No, that's what I'm asking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know where this is. The reason I picked this slide, I just came across it in my rambles. But A, I thought it looked like Island Park in the river. And I could imagine something like that down on that site. Because I hadn't seen anything that I thought I could imagine down in that site. Because remember, Fran de la Rambula showed us a big
right.
office building in the plaza.
What's nice about that is the sun angles, you know, from low to high. It's coming, I'm trying to figure out where south is, but anyway, there's the light penetrates into the public space, you know, the streetscape there, as well as along the waterfront without, well, overshadowing it. Obviously shadows, but it's kind of nice.
We're looking at the northwest angle.
I just like how there's so much outdoor space on the buildings that takes advantage of the riverfront, and in a way activates the riverfront, because there's all these people up there looking out over everything. I don't know. What do you think, John?
I mean, I like what Kip commented on, is in terms of taking advantage of light. I mean,
yeah.
It's great. And steps up, it's pretty nice. It looks like it provides for a lot of inside outside space, so it kind of connects to the place and the river and the green belt. It's quite nice.
I have another one. Same idea, but a totally different style.
Yeah.
So you feel that the site is underused with all those small rent of those medical unit or offices. And
yeah, I do, and so does the person that I think has influence over it. There's more mixed use buildings. Maybe I have too many here, but I just wanted to show you a wide selection to show that a lot of them do look alike. Okay. And then depending on the materials that are used, it might have a completely different style. But the modules are essentially the same. And I focus really on the retail, the ground floor stuff, and seeing at least what would fit in on Main Street. Doesn't mean these buildings could go anywhere in the city, but on Main Street, should it be something different? I don't know. That's the question.
Problem with the Oregon is this new misunderstanding of rain. We seem to get rid of all the canopies and covers now. It used to be the opposite way back in the 1910s. That's why you saw those looks at the sea out there. The Perkins Museum used to have the awnings and stuff, because they understood rain.
We've grown accustomed to it. We don't need covers and umbrellas.
Yeah, when I'm dealing with my vendors, they ask if we want umbrellas, and I have to explain to them we're the only state that pretty much doesn't care about umbrellas. Which confuses them.
This is a community. It's called Carmel, Indiana. And I think they have a lot of resources at their disposal, but they have a brick ordinance, and every building in the city has to be brick, including houses.
So, Linda,
mm-hmm.
Do you know where this photo is?
Carmel, Indiana. Oh. And they have what?
So, it's a historic district?
No, it's all new.
Well, then it's kind of phony to have
those
cast iron lamps, right? I mean, you know what I mean. When you come down the street, I look at it and say, okay, well, there may be a newish building, but on the left, they look cool. Those could be old houses. And then the lighting kind of, and there's a sign on the post that could say something about the neighborhood.
I think it's all new, and they didn't have it downtown, so they created one. And one of the people on our project team, Christy Kruger, you know, she recommended that I include some of these pictures in here.
A lot of our modern architecture is based off of 1930s Germanic architecture. So we're all kind of doing this mason brick look at Walmart. So we try to do minimalist.
So I threw this in to make the council wake up when I was showing them the slide.
That'd be interestingly mixed Brazilian into our architecture.
Right. Wow. Or Miami. Yeah.
I was gonna say, yeah, Miami. That's good. Miami. Mm-hmm.
But you know, stuff like this we are getting.
Mm-hmm.
We're not getting the other one, but we are getting ones like this.
Yeah. But the bottom retail is nice. I mean,
agreed.
Mm-hmm. And the landscaping makes a huge difference. Just so much.
And this, I don't think, doesn't look like a downtown setting.
What I do appreciate is it at least uses different colors other than natural earth colors. I'm seeing that too much. Like you see oranges and yellows and blues.
So you'd like to see more colorful?
Yeah, everything's getting stale.
How do the rest of people feel about color?
Depends on the color. Color is trendy. That's the problem. Yeah. Because then what's in right now, 5 years from now, it wouldn't be. And so maybe that's a reason a lot of people use earth tones and neutral colors is because they're classic.
That's our safe.
Yeah, I think it enlivens.
Oh, definitely
place
that.
And the space, and it, but there is that potential of it becoming quite dated in 10 or 20 years.
Color does that.
Yeah.
Change the color.
Then you paint it.
Yeah. I know, but then, also you know, who's...
That's right.
But that also adds to the conversation. Look at the ancient Roman forums. The Roman forums is based off of different time periods, and you're dealing with Baroque and modern stuff, so you're getting all this influx of different periods and different colors. It's kind of nice to see variety. You don't have that same.
Where did they put this in then?
The windows?
Well, it's just, you know, they did big back in those days.
Mm-hmm. You know how to do it right. It's dirty.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the top of the columns. Mm-hmm. The blasters. Fantastic.
We have a natural light that's more important, where now we have a lot of task lighting and in controlled environments. So.
Well, they used to have the idea, the philosophy of the young adult that has never been educated to walk into an area and be inspired mathematically of the precise height of a column versus its width and stuff. And we've forgot it.
It's kind of, you know, it's funny because I haven't looked at the Eugene Hotel from that person, but that blue stuff, it makes it almost, because that's such a classic old building, and that blue on there just makes it look really cartoonish, you know?
Almost a Swiss.
That's why I love photographs, because they don't lie, and when you're out looking, you don't know certain things. This building, though, is pretty amazing, just because of the longevity of it, and the adaptive reuse of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it always has good retail. I mean, there was a Starbucks, and now it's some other cafe in there.
Well, how come Starbucks moved down to
there? They moved down into the Broadway area.
Uh-huh. But that's a great corner there, though.
I think the per square foot is too expensive.
But this one is really a full block scale, but it seems to work, and it's been there, you know, over the years.
And it's had a similar look throughout the decades.
Yeah. So I think, you know, a lot of us, I think, would like to see some buildings that are going to stand the test of time. But
yeah. Not recyclable.
This one I put in because, you know, it's got bricks. A lot of people think red brick seems to be, like, characteristic of our downtown. I'm not sure how that started or why it started, but, you know, four stories, no step back. To me, that building would fit in.
Mm-hmm. What's
in
fun?
My eye. The red building on the right?
What's fun is to see the different colors of bricks. People often use red too often, which this is fine. I like it. It's good. But then you see right next to it, it's like yellow brick, which also makes it nice.
Well, the windows are recessed, though. The structure is really articulated well, and so it has a fair amount of rhythm, even though it's not.
Well, there's not a consistency in its windows, though. The architect didn't know what the heck he was doing with windows. Here you got 4x4s, and then you got 2x4s. Mm-hmm. Didn't know what he was doing. But all, you know, around, it's fun as a structure.
Mm-hmm. Too much glass.
That's something. That is 1955 to 1960 look.
Right, but this, I think, is probably a pretty recent building that's emulating that, right? Mm-hmm.
And that's considered the eyesore of our modern American architecture.
But again, look at that relationship to the street and the amount of glass along the sidewalk.
That's a cool look.
Yeah, I can.
I like that. It almost looks like those balconies, but the black.
I think so.
Yeah. The balcony is the arch, and then his neighboring buildings. Mm-hmm. The windows look all the same pattern.
But the stuff on the left is different. So they did break it up.
Yeah.
And the left has the
No, it's got a lot of interest. It's got, like you said, rhythm, you know.
And then that's a stepped back building. So it's got kind of a shorter storefront along the street.
And that just had the lamp post that had we got the flower baskets mixed in with the kind of the traditional 1910s kind of lamp. It was kind of nice.
Yeah, a lot of these are smaller scale, but, you know.
Warehouse.
A little bit more landscaping would soften.
Yeah, it is pretty dark, isn't it?
Well, I'm just thinking because they've got the trees and they've got, you know, the big tree wells around them, but why could they could have done, you know, even some big pots or some kind of planters just to soften all that concrete.
So much better in planting vegetation.
This one I thought was interesting because, again, it's got that deck.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm kind of hooked on, I wish somebody would do a building like that on Main Street with a deck. I've got some other photos of that coming up. This is housing, but, again, we have a little bit of land all for housing and we could have more.
There's that backwards S. Mm-hmm. Let's get a new thing.
It looks like the windows of the council can see. This will be our code, this building on the left.
Mm-hmm. That just looks, I don't even want to walk beside that.
I don't want to either.
No, I feel like I'm on, like, the back of a building in a loading dock.
That's the truth, and if that's the front, that's sad.
Yeah, but when you get somebody that does the minimum code, you know, you're going to end up with
I feel like I have to name my numbers.
You know, it's brick, you know, it may be past the checklist.
Mm-hmm.
That person has no love for architecture.
But what I did like is the sign. They actually
copied
the historic sign on the building.
I love this sign. Why is it one of those?
Here's another one, just, you know, probably needs code.
Right.
Is that in East Europe? That's what it looks like.
I don't think so. I think these are all in the United States. So something like this, you start getting a lot more variation. Probably costs a whole heck of a lot more.
A little bit.
It's got definitely has a step back.
It has a lot more window than wall, which I like, compared to the previous one.
And even though it's a pretty big building, like imagine something like this on Main Street, I think that could fit in.
Yeah.
It's perfect. Mm-hmm.
People would think it would be fitting in.
It's more subtle, more humble, but it would fit.
And why is that?
Well, the first floor is almost identical to our buildings on Main Street. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the height of the windows, the transom windows, and so.
Because there's no clear separation from first story to the rest of the stories, that's what makes it minimal. Most businesses or most buildings that are proper, in my opinion, separate it by having, you know, a trim or cornice or whatever from the first building to the next of the buildings. I mean, anything above you can have the same, but the first always has to show itself.
I think it's inferred here though, because on a couple of the entries it does have it, and then you go a block without it and the eye fills in the rest. And
sure.
I think it
but like I said,
it works.
I could work a little different. It's not a bad one. So you see that trim right there.
Mm-hmm. There's a group of architects that's working out to try to come up with these prototype performas for a small walk-up, like a three-story walk-up that, you know, an architect could do on their own, or a, you know, mom-and-pop scale of development. And I think, you know, we want to encourage that. The council really likes this idea of encouraging small lots, small buildings, infill. They like that idea a lot. So we want to make sure that our standards are going to permit that.
Yeah. What is going to be our minimum standard?
Mm-hmm.
We know what the maximum is. Mm-hmm. It's 90 feet, but the minimum. And then somewhere in between is where it pans out feasibly to actually build a...
Right. The committee's going to need to weigh in on should there even be a minimum. Because I think in the last draft we saw we allowed a one-story, but it had to be 25 feet, I think, is what I recall.
In the
on
width.
Height.
Or, oh, I see, in the height.
But we didn't talk about width at all, and I can tell you that since I had this slideshow, there's been resistance to the fact that I'm even talking about it by the consultant, by people on my staff.
So of the three-story versus?
No, of even talking about the width of a building. You know, when I showed at the beginning of this slideshow.
They're afraid of it being controlled, that you have to have it wider than it might be right now?
No, they're thinking that we shouldn't tell people that it can't be wide. So our existing code, it requires you to have offsets every 50 feet, and I don't know how they came up with the 50 feet. You know, if you required a long facade to be broken up, maybe that should be based on some historic pattern instead of just some random 50-foot standard. That's all I'm suggesting.
Sure.
Or, you know.
Like a percentage, like one-third, two-thirds. Mm-hmm,
right. So I think that's something. I would think that's something that we'd want to consider, but I'm not in charge of this is for getting your input.
You got the brownstones in New York City where they have thin buildings that are really tall, and it's just kind of shocking and cool.
I mean, look at this tiny little infill building.
I think there's a great opportunity for interest with a single lot.
Mm-hmm. We have gaps that could be filled, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Landscaping and planters make a big difference, and then using a different material, you know, the stone facade on the planters with the stone caps, I think that's a good look.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I think the reason I thought maybe this was interesting is because when you do have those buildings along the edge of the Washburn neighborhood, that maybe they start to have more of a character of providing more outdoor seating or whatever. I don't know. If somebody has a big lot, what if they wanted to convert a parking lot into this?
Smaller lots allows you to have more personality. Bigger lots, and they end up being a lot of times uniform. Yeah, I mean, there's a balance between, I mean, some are really good, big, but a lot of times they don't make the worst mistakes. And
so the dotted line shows where the mixed-use district is currently zoned, where these new standards would be applicable. It's not a very big area. And then if you said, well, Main Street, where the red is, along Main, maybe they have a certain character or a certain standard. And then the arrows point to where you have the interface between the mixed-use commercial that could be something bigger than the residential, the Washburn. So the council did direct staff to try and find ways to incorporate some of these smaller scale concepts, I think, into the design standards, but they didn't answer question two, which was, would you want that applied throughout the downtown or just along Main Street and along the Washburn edge? So we'll have to go back to them with more information. Be thinking about that. Because remember, we had three sub-areas the last time we looked at this draft?
Which I liked.
But a lot of people thought it was just too complicated. So I think in the next draft, we're probably going to see two different flavors of design. One that would be more of a smaller scale, mm-hmm. and one that would allow bigger things to happen.
As long as it's not all the same, okay.
And so hopefully we won't end up with the picture on the right. Because you know, code makes you step it down, but it still could look like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we really have to take care of that edge.
Yeah, that's a disappointment.
And when we ask people in the community what they want to see more of, they always point to this kind of stuff. So how can we create some more of that design standards? I don't think that's possible, but maybe if we show enough pictures, people will get an idea and want to do it.
I remember that one.
You do?
It still was there in 1960.
Well, I love that. I love any kind of outdoor
that
on the second
floor. That was down on Pioneer, third and Main Street.
Which
There's a wooden structure.
Pioneer Parkway.
Huh?
Yeah. Well, it's not there now, of course.
Yeah, they're all wooden structures. Did they burn down?
No, it didn't burn. I couldn't figure out why it didn't. But it did.
But what building is there now?
It's a parking lot now.
At Third and...
McKinsey Mist, where that was.
Okay.
So here's one that I put in that I kind of like.
Looks better at night. I don't like it during the day. It looks
but it's
really
a restaurant.
Cozy.
Wouldn't that be cool to have a restaurant on the
second
floor? That's an idea. You know, just think about that kind of life and activity in the evening. Somebody has to do that. More restaurants on the second floor. Okay, so now we're getting into more like the checklist that I've got in front of you on the blue sheets. So, variety of architectural styles. What I heard from the council is they really liked the variety that I showed in the pictures. They definitely didn't say, go make it all look like similar to each other. They really liked the variety. So, does the committee agree with that? Let me just think about that as we're going through.
It speaks to your earlier concerns about the length of larger buildings, it breaks them up, it helps with scale, adds to visual interest and aesthetics, and improves that overall pedestrian streetscape feel. It's more approachable.
Provides conversation.
Biggest problem, you know, that I've experienced in my practice, and I've done design standards, design guidelines for both mixed-use, residential, downtown areas, and previous jobs, and it's hard to legislate good design. And you talked about that earlier. Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody can always screw it up.
Right.
You know, really bad. Yeah, and they will always design to the lowest common denominator because it's a cost exercise. And I don't know where you're at in terms of imposing sort of the design guidelines or an overlay that would require design review. There's trade-offs associated with that.
I think Gina thinks the council might be ready for a design review board kind of approach, but we'll see. But that's the first time I've heard that they'd even consider it, because we've brought it up in the past. So a variety of styles, you know, new, old. McKinsey Theater. That was pretty radical when that went in. Do you remember?
That doesn't, no, that wasn't very radical.
Well, some people thought it was.
You have nothing mileage. Yeah.
Most people like that building, don't they? Mm-hmm. The McKinsey Theater?
Well, they say acoustically it was one of the best buildings around, but I was never in it before, but from everything that on SRDC, the people who were part of building it.
I was in it when it opened.
Oh, okay.
McKinsey Theater.
Go back.
Yeah, so the canopy, of course, is way up in the air, but how far does that extend over the right-of-way?
I think they had to get a permit, a special permit for that.
Yeah, so that's a design review element right there, whether it's an awning or a building.
Could you write that down? Should we allow, I think they call those encroachments.
It's appropriate for this building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, it's a theater.
Should be flexible with that.
Yeah, I think it's
a good idea.
It's high enough. I like her sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very clean. Mm-hmm. You can see it from far off and know clearly what it is. You can't do that really well in plank cloud. It's too dark.
Have you been upstairs in that? Godfellows?
Yeah. Awesome.
Have you seen the upstairs?
It's big. Isn't it a big room?
It's incredible.
Ballroom.
I've seen it, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's really something.
So the Plantown, though, this isn't a good picture, but this slide is supposed to be about engaging storefronts that engage people walking by. But that building, to me, does engage when you walk by, especially at night. It just has this warm glow to it, all the people sitting by the windows, and it Contributed so much to the street.
Even during the day, though, I mean, with the rows and the planters, and, you know.
Yeah, they did really good inside, too. Someone passed by. It's very healthy.
So these are all examples of patterns that I have observed. You all may observe other patterns that we want to make sure that we write down and capture and consider. But we have a lot of corner engagement types of buildings in downtown.
And then notice the most minimal you could possibly do on the Royal Building, like just simply putting a black, brown brick as a trimming on the column. The most minimal you could. I mean, it's still a nice building. Most minimal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the fact that they at least gave it a patio, the problem is it doesn't get used as it should be. And unless they're going to put some more tables out there, but that was one of the things, because before I had decided on the Washburn building, I had put in a bid on the Royal Building to lease, and one of the things that attracted me about it was that whole patio there. And I mean, I had the whole thing in my head,
right,
what it was going to look like, and the seating outside and hanging planters and all that. And you know, hopefully maybe this summer Mezzaluna will put some nice things out there. And
yeah. That business is gone, but they had corner windows that were corner windows.
Yeah, the flower market. Well, that's your dad's business, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I love having the flower market there, mm-hmm, you know, and they've dressed up the corner.
Now here's somebody, you already talked about this, the recessed facade. Mm-hmm. I never noticed this until I went out looking for characteristics. It's like so many of our buildings have that. And, mm-hmm, and so even though our sidewalks zone is only 12 feet wide, it does give the appearance and the feel of more space, mm-hmm, because there's so many buildings with recessed facades. So that may be something that we would want to codify, or at least have as one of the options that we would, that could count towards meeting your requirement for a new building.
If the building has a particular width that exceeds.
Yeah, or any building, I don't know. I just think this was one that I identified. You may not think it's important, or you may think it is. Thanks for coming.
Okay. Hey, Steve, do you have a business card?
So this one, I just want to try to distinguish storefronts that have a lot of variety versus what I call generic storefronts. And I didn't make up that term. It's common business. And a lot of the retail literature talks about generic storefronts and how they're not successful. And so they try to make it look more variety, have
like
a variety like this.
And we could have made it really look bad, but no, every single one looks great. It's a lot of personality.
So what is it? What are the features of it that make it interesting?
Well, it's those awnings, those pseudo-awnings that they did there, and the signage.
For me, it's mathematical predictability. The awnings are in the exact same space as each other. The windows are in the same space as each other. They all have low windows. You'll find that the higher the windows and the less windows you have on a building, that's the least safe area of the city. Same as the general. So the more window you see in an area, that means the safer you are, mm-hmm, in theory.
And I know this committee, we talked about color. Mm-hmm. And some people thought certain buildings had too much color.
Well, at least he,
but this one has a lot of color.
At least
but
Sweeties doesn't look like Sweeties anymore.
And they all understand that the fonts that they're supposed to use for their signs is supposed to be clear, not cursive or anything. Something I always have a problem with.
Yeah, I've always liked blade signs. I think blade signs are important.
Mm-hmm. Not enough.
More examples of buildings that engage the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Council liked the idea of engaging the corner, but of course they're not going to want to require every building to do that, or every corner building to do it. They seem to like that concept.
He'll know what kind of personality the architect is if he doesn't.
It's a new building on the left, but it kind of has some of the features of an older Main Street.
Yeah, but it's really flat.
Mm-hmm. It is. But I do like the street, the sidewalk and that. It's nice. Mm-hmm. That bike, the bike whatever it is, just fantastic.
So these would be examples of what would be considered generic, more generic storefronts, because they have all one type of awning.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, at least that bottom left one, they did something, they, you know, put an arch in there for a little bit of interest just mm-hmm. to break up all the squareness, but the other ones are yeah. basic, boring.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know how your code can not allow this, but that's what our consultant needs to figure out, right? Unless we think that's okay.
I myself think it's okay, because mm-hmm. I love the porches and the tower.
Yeah, this one's got some.
The only thing I don't like is the street lights, but everything else is great. But, I mean, it does what it's supposed to do.
At least the signs and the word are different.
Yeah.
I haven't seen much of it here, but I don't see a lot of public art in these pictures around the buildings, you know, like no neon sculptures or metal or bas relief stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. So. Mm-hmm.
Another example of step back. And then I just throw these in because I'm all these materials.
I love the thick awning look, as if you're supposed to be protected by the rain, but it still looks good.
It's too cold.
So what do you think of those storefronts?
I think that one looks really cold to me.
Yeah, I couldn't walk into it as a customer, that's for sure.
I mean, but again, now think about it, if they had some kind of planters, you know, up against each, on either side of the windows, like big, nice, well-done planters, landscaping and pots and plants just makes a huge difference.
Most of it, I think, is the color for me. It's just too dark for a first story. Which I mean, this night.
And just a lot of this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Look how sad people are.
Is it enough job? Yeah, is it does it have enough height for it to make it where I can be able to?
Yeah.
Do I have to worry about the dog if I land on it?
Splat. That's ugly.
And this is the capstone. This is my
favorite.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, look how
Avenue.
You can see how bad the construction is.
I spent a couple hours down there one day, like,
oh my
just
God.
Taking a picture of this
There's
building because they have so many don'ts.
Wow. And if the vehicle's not paying attention, it swerves, you're done. On the building right next to you.
And to me, a sidewalk, there should be at least enough room for two couples to pass.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we'd ever go that low.
And these are bedrooms on the left.
Oh, wow.
Windows. There's just no separation.
Where were the planners that day?
I don't know.
It was too minimalist.
They were going to the bank to cash the check.
Yeah. The other facades are better, but on this one, they just let them do it. They let them build way too close to the street.
Wow.
Eugene, that's really interesting.
And that's another case of, well, I think they kind of did it, but indenting every 50 feet or something.
Mm-hmm. So another thing I want you to look at are the tops of buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have on our existing historic, we have uneven tops and lots of steps and shaped parapets. I don't know what new buildings would have any of that, because most of them that I've seen don't have any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the nice thing about that frontage is the different colors.
Mm-hmm.
I like the different shapes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just the different, architecture.
When you look at silhouettes of cities and you see that there's so many straight lines on the top,
mm-hmm.
or two.
Yeah, I've got some pictures of that. So focus on these. Just looking at the tops.
Not very
This is that walnut nose. like viewing it from D Street, the bike path on our side, the east side.
It's like a prison from far off.
It's like, why would you want that? I don't know, maybe they thought it would blend in with the trees or something.
What they when they leap down?
I don't know. I just mean it's just dumb. Mm-hmm. But it's worse when they fake it and they do this little.
Yeah.
I'm giving too much away. Don't put that in a minute.
Okay. It's already recorded.
Yeah, like I said, what he did when he redid the storefront on the middle one, mm-hmm. that it still to me is an ugly building, but it looks better than it did.
The old post office. Mm-hmm.
Bill Ruff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it still is. It's better. And you know, the one on the right, mm-hmm. those could be really cute buildings. It just
yeah.
they're just such a mishmash right now. And with that kind of double door thing, it gives it interest.
It is interesting.
It is. It gives it interest and. And like that, I've always liked the Emerald Art Center building too. I mean, that's just always been such a pretty mm-hmm. building.
Armistice building.
Gerlach's.
That's right, Gerlach's.
Yeah, we're going to click through a little faster here. We're going to get some
yeah.
through. But there's just more of these recessed facades. And then signs. So variety in signs. I know we've talked about we like more blade signs and we're getting more of those. But you saw those pictures where the signs are all the same. When I look at the historic and what we've got, it's the variety that makes it interesting.
Yeah, you can't have a sterile city.
And I was really glad that they reused that Econo set of signs.
Really
no,
cool
it's the lofts.
Mm-hmm.
The lofts. So I was
yeah,
delighted that they didn't get rid of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's such a cool Art Deco looking sign.
Personally, I would love to see neon come back, but it never will.
Well, the Emerald Arts wants to put a neon on their building. They've already come into the counter to talk about it.
Wow.
What kind for?
On their column in the corner, they want to put a neon sign,
what
I
they
guess.
What do they want to say?
I don't know. I just heard David Bolzman tell me about it.
Mm.
So these are just pictures and materials, too. So we have, these are different colors of brick that exist in downtown. And when they built the bus station, they used that color.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember some people thought that color was, they didn't like it.
It's okay.
And the problem with this building that I see is the front door is not functional.
Mm-hmm.
So it was designed to have the front door, but they used only the side entrances.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where you park.
Too
mm-hmm. So maybe someday somebody will use the front door. Same problem with this building and the space on the left.
I actually tried to rent that spot in there.
They did a really nice job. I haven't been in there yet, but look how nice that looks compared to what it was.
It's a small facade improvement, but they put the wood up there, and it
mm-hmm.
is real wood. I went and looked at it the other day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two Whole Foods, two totally different looks. One was in Nashville, and this is the one in Eugene. But I know our city council is really interested in wood products right now because of the CLT
right.
initiative and all that. This, I don't think, is a real building, but I put this in there for that.
No,
it's
kind of
cool.
But it's wood.
Yeah, it's neat.
And then we have corrugated metal. And one of the councilors said we're going to do that. But we're getting a lot of that, too.
The Welder's Warehouse.
So I don't know, what do committee members think?
Of corrugated metal?
Yeah.
Well, if it's done right,
mm-hmm.
it can look okay, but if it's not, it can look
I
bad.
Think it's being replaced with wood these days. And,
right.
You know, different types of panels. I have not seen it used too much.
Now that's really good. There's a lot of interest.
Okay.
Look at all the interest in those buildings.
This is that Carmel.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
They built the downtown.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost a little too flat, but yet what makes it interesting, and see all their tops with the exception of the one all the way on the right are all pretty much the same, but what makes it interesting is they've got some balconies, they've got different style windows, awnings down there, an arch, you know.
All good.
Yeah. They never have tops. All those buildings have tops.
If we could ever have a rotary club clock like that, I'd be awesome.
This is that same place. I was just throwing these out there so people can see what gets built.
The Napoleonic style roof imitation is awesome on the right. That is awesome. I love the curves.
And then there's this brick building. It's like a grocery store.
Looks great. The lighting was different, but everything else I like.
But again, all these would be allowed by the code.
Mm-hmm. It's ugly. I mean, I like a lot of glass, but
great when you're inside the building.
Yeah.
For the lighting. Room.
Another example of a form-based code that, you know, can go either way, like mm-hmm. you're saying.
You know, it just kind of depends on, you know, what the vibe of the place is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how urban do we want to make downtown Springfield? Is it urban? You know, my feeling is that kind of between 4th Street and 8th Street, it'll be mostly people coming in and fixing up the buildings that are there with just a little bit of infill with two or three story buildings. And from 4th down to Mill is where you probably have the greater potential of larger buildings. And, you know, do we want from Mill to 8th to all kind of look like an old downtown, or can that have a different vibe to it? And what's going to be the vibe that happens down in Glenwood? Is that the thing that's going to actually trigger downtown's growth when that takes place? It's kind of hard to tell what we're kind of planning for, but... Somehow I see the sensitivity to the architecture as being more similar to what we have than going away from it and being maybe more contemporary or more urban feel to it. But I think we have to have flexibility. We're encouraging development. Right. We want someone to come in and build. We want to enliven our downtown. And sometimes you just kind of have to hold your breath a little bit to see what it's going to be. And maybe that's when we have oversight from a committee that can actually review projects as they come along.
Mm-hmm. Well. From what you're saying, there's a building proposed in Eugene near on the way to my neighborhood that's five stories. It's South Eugene. And the compatibility of a five-story building next door to a one-story single-family residence, you know, I mean, that's about the starkest comparisons you can get, so it's a matter of... But the developer says, well, it doesn't pencil out to have three or four stories, you know, I mean, of course, I don't know how you have to prove that, justify that. You know, whether he even has to, because it meets code.
Return on your investment, even what they're dealing with.
Yeah, so it meets the current code. In fact, they didn't even have to do a traffic study, a special traffic study. So the code is there, and it's in the books, and you don't have a lot to say about it, even the design of it. You know, you have to go through the neighborhood meetings, of course, and public input, but, it's probably not going to change. So that's why, you know, what we're doing here is important now.
Well, I see we have the opportunity to have two distinct kinds of areas where we abut the Washburn neighborhood, more residential, that we might limit the height and set of conditions, and then downtown have a set of conditions.
As long as it'll keep standing.
You used to have a Model A sitting on the roof.
Really?
Is this
wow.
is this one on near Mill Street?
Mm-hmm.
This is the oldest gas station. I have pictures and information about that thing.
Cool.
That one is an awesome building.
I guess.
Think about the adaptive reuse.
But it's an awesome building.
Or something come in downtown.
It's
that would be the one building that could kill the whole thing. If we don't want a building that could kill
that
building.
But look at the windows. You know,
but what would it take to do that?
So yeah, that's why I wanted to end it on that note of what you just said.
It's
generic. All right, well, I hope people will at least put some marks on those blue sheets right now. Please. And if you can think of other characteristics that we're not
what
hitting
happens
on,
if I
you can take
have
it
time to think about it and I drop it off in
please,
a day or so to you.
Please do.
I don't want to be hasty.
No, please do, but just while you're still thinking about it and as you're walking around too.
Yeah.
You know, what are we missing here? Are these things important? Are there other things that we're not thinking about that you think are important?
Put your pencils down, time is up.
Physical characteristics. Because next time we review the consultant work, we'll have had these discussions, and we'll do another one of these. I'm going to be meeting with the Historic Commission as well, going through a similar exercise with them.
Well, can we bring these to the next meeting? I mean, if you want more details.
It'd be better for me to get feedback now, and what you've given in your, I mean, I'll have the minutes.
So when will we see the next revision on the guidelines?
May 25th.
May 25th.
Yeah,
so.
Do you have that calendar?
Yeah. No, you'll see the consultant deliverables not until June 8th.
And what we might present on this have some influence?
Yes.
On that?
Yes. Definitely. That's why there's this. Yeah. So the consultant's working on feedback you gave on the last draft.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be incorporated into draft 3. And then the city's going to do a huge review of that. And it'll be revised again. And then you'll see the revised draft 3 in June. And we'll do another open house. So, yeah, all this work that we're doing in between is really important to inform that next piece. And to respond to council's request for more work on this.
What do we do now? Agenda. Sure, right now.
Well, we've kind of done that. Project timeline and next step.
Okay.
So the next meeting will be May 25th. And we'll be continuing this discussion about compatibility based on what we've heard tonight. And, you know, other issues that come up in the draft 3 that I can bring to the committee. And then June 8th, we'll be meeting with the consultant again to review draft standards 3. And then two meetings in July to move forward with draft 4 and then your committee's recommendations. So it's going to be pretty tight going forward. After a long period of not a lot, it's going to be pretty intensive. Which I think is good because then we'll be back into it.
Okay, everybody.
And then we're scheduled for public hearing in November with the Planning Commission and December with the City Council. To adopt this work into the development code. And then we haven't talked about streetscape tonight, so I think the next meeting we'll probably talk more about the streetscape elements. Do you have any announcements or other?
May I ask, what's the reasoning for limiting it to 4 meetings and that would be probably the end. The reason why I ask is my understanding when we first started up is it's a kind of a continual voice of the downtown evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And do they feel like it's evolved to the point that they don't need our expression anymore and might later on in the future?
Mm-hmm.
Or
the decision hasn't been made yet. I'm just anticipating that there may not be a reason for the committee to continue. If the committee wants to continue, and the council says yes,
that
then you'll continue.
Okay. It's just when I've looked at the City of Springfield's downtown urban committees. This is like the third or fourth time. And I don't know what the reasonings for those three were. I don't know if it was similar to ours, that we've reached our comfortability mm-hmm. and then don't need to express it further, or if it was just the stage of there was the city disinterested in the council. So I don't know those histories. So I was just wondering if that, they feel like they're comfortable with us now and don't need to move further, if that was the case.
Well, this committee's charge is to, as the planning advisory committee, is to work on this project.
Sure.
So when the project's finished, then there'll be a decision about whether the committee will continue or not.
Oh, yeah.
If there's other
projects.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. There's always projects going on.
And healthy either way.
Yeah, I'm sorry about downtown Springfield. It's going to be a continuous.
I think so. But.
Okay, we're adjourned.
Thank you.